Well, hello, radio friends, and again I greet you in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, this is Minor Hawk introducing you to another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel radio program. And as most of you know, this program, which has been on the air since March the 4th of 1956, is a non-denominational broadcast of what is often referred to as old-fashioned gospel preaching. Now, I've mentioned this before, but you know it's unfortunate that preaching the gospel of God's grace should be referred to as old-fashioned. But the fact remains that it is. Not too many pastors today preach the fact that man is born in sin and chastened in iniquity. Very few of them tell their congregations that they have to repent of their sin and to be born again by the Spirit and Word of God if they ever expect to be in God's heaven. And friends, you know as well as I do that very few preachers, priests, or other evangelists speak about the judgment of God which awaits those who die without having accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Sure, they tell about the love of God, and we know that God is love. The fact that I'm here today on the air as a radio preacher is proof enough that God is love. But my friend, the Bible tells me that God is also a consuming fire. And if you don't accept the love of God, then the alternative is the wrath of God. Well, in any case, this program of straightforward gospel preaching may not be too popular. But friend, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to tell it like it is. And thank God, He's the only one I have to please. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul again says, "We are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who trieth our hearts." Now let's listen to our first hymn for today, and it's the beautiful, well-known hymn, "Love Lifted Me."
Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, thinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. All my heart I give to Him, never to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and my soul's best song, faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Love lifted me.
for one, sure thank God today that love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me from the dunghill of religion and placed me in Christ, where there's therefore now no condemnation. Friend, did you ever stop to think how you would define love? If I were to ask you today how you would define the word love, what would your answer be? Well, I'm sure there would be many answers, but I believe the best definition of love that we can possibly find is given in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, here's what we read. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Yes, that's how John records it. But the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And then, of course, there's the best known verse in the Bible, John 3 and 16. And here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, friend, I thank God today that I have everlasting life. I'm as sure of heaven as though I were already walking the street of gold. Not because I deserve to be in heaven, because, as I've often said, if hell were never prepared for the devil and his angels, it should have been prepared for Minor Hawk. But I thank God today that the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that paid a debt He didn't owe for a people who owed a debt they couldn't pay. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, still cleanseth from all sin. Let us pray. Father in God, we ask Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Honor afresh Thy Son, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now then, those of you who have your Bibles and would care to follow me, I'll be reading as a text for today, a verse as we find it in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, and I'll read verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with Me. I'll repeat the text. This is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. And Jesus Christ says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with Me. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His word. Well, friends, today I've read to you a most familiar verse of Scripture. It's one which many young people are assigned as a memory verse in their Sunday school class. And I can recall when I, too, had to learn it as a young boy many, many years ago. And I might add that I thank God today for the godly, Spirit-led Sunday school teachers who faithfully sought to instill in my young heart a reverence for the Word of God. And the day I was saved, reading those tracts in the Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh, way back there on June the 2nd of 1952, I recall reading many scriptures which I had memorized as a child. And the Holy Spirit of God saw fit that day to resurrect those verses to my heart and soul and bring them to my remembrance. I mention this fact as a means of encouragement to you Christian parents who are so concerned about your unsaved children who were brought up in the truth of God's Word. You know, God promises in Isaiah 55 and 11 that His Word shall not return void. And I, for one, know the truth of that promise. So don't despair, Christian friend. God is still on the throne, and this is still the day of His grace. So keep claiming the promises of God and keep mentioning your unsaved loved ones before the throne of His grace. Now, getting back to our text, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, there are several facts I want you to notice about this utterance by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing we notice is His command to behold. Behold. Now, friends, when the Son of God issues a command, you can be sure that He intends to have His command obeyed. And in this particular instance, He wants the sinner to behold or to pay attention. Now, I don't know about other evangelists, but I've noticed in my short career of preaching the gospel, and I say short because I've only been preaching the gospel for 35 or 36 years, But my friend, I noticed that it's very difficult at times, seemingly impossible, to get sinners to pay attention to the Word of God. Many times I've stood on the busiest street corners in Pittsburgh or New York City, Ocean City, and Atlantic City, New Jersey, and other cities throughout the United States and even in Europe, and I've preached the gospel of the grace of God. And literally, thousands of people have passed me in all directions with no more concern about what I was saying than if I wasn't even there at all. Some look at me with a smile on their face or an expression of pity. Others will actually cross the street so as not to be contaminated by the so-called religious fanatic. And some who are offered a gospel tract will withdraw their hand as though I was attempting to brand them with a hot iron. Well, sinner friend, you'll never be saved or born again until you give heed to the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, we're told that a person is born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, where do we get the faith in order to please God? In Romans 10 and 17, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, perhaps someone is thinking, well, if I don't pay any attention to the Word of God, what's the alternative? Friend, in John chapter 12 and verse 48, the Lord Jesus Christ gives the alternative. Here's what he says. This is John 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So that's it, friend. If you listen to the Word of God and believe it with all of your heart, you'll someday be in God's heaven. But if you don't give heed to the Word of God, and if you don't believe it with all your heart, you'll spend all eternity in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. So, friend, you'd be wise today if you listen to the Lord's command in our text. And that command is to behold. Behold. Now, the next thing we notice about Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 is the Lord's concern. The Lord's concern. Here's what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is standing at your heart's door today. And he's knocking and seeking admittance. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about your spiritual condition. He realizes that you've been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. He realizes, too, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He realizes that there's none righteous, no, not one. He realizes that all your righteousnesses or even all your religious activities are in God's sight nothing but filthy rags. He realizes that unless you're saved or born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Yes, he realizes if you don't trust him as your Savior, you'll end up in the flames of hell. And sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ realizes that if you don't let him come into your heart, you'll be banished from the presence of a loving God throughout the countless ages of all eternity. So that's the reason he's concerned about your soul today. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we read that the Lord is long-suffering. Yes, he's very patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, we read that the Lord would have all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. No, my friend, the death of a sinner brings no pleasure to God. But when a lost and rebel creature of God realizes his spiritual condition in God's sight, and then accepts God's Son as his Savior, then God is well pleased, because we read in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7 that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Now, friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't concerned about you and me, then we'd all be doomed and damned. And if God were to give us our due reward, none of us would ever reach God's heaven. But thank God we read in Romans 5 and 20 that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And friend, I thank God today that his grace was expressed in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 we read that the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, lived a sinless life on earth, and died on the old rugged cross for one purpose. And that was to bring sinful man back into a new and proper relationship with his Creator God. In Luke 19 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ told Zacchaeus that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I think of that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. There we read that God hath made him, meaning Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And back in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, and in verses 5 and 6, here's what we're told. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, how I thank God today for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ bare my sins in his own body on the tree. Yes, and even though I knowingly rebelled against God and trampled underfoot his dear Son, today I'm a child of God, not by works of righteousness which I have done, but all according to his mercy and his grace. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And you know, the songwriter has well put it, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And sinner friend, you too can rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven today, because the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned enough about your spiritual condition that he was willing to leave the glories of heaven and come down to earth and die on the old rugged cross for your sin. And that's the reason he is knocking, as it were, on your heart's door right now. He says in the words of Matthew 11 and 28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, he promises in John 6 and verse 37, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now then, the next thing we notice about our text, Revelation 3 and verse 20, is man's conviction. Man's conviction. We read, Behold, I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice. Sinner friend, have you ever heard the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God? Have you ever meditated upon your spiritual condition in the sight of a holy, just, and righteous God? Has your sin ever made you uncomfortable under the searching of the Spirit and the Word of God? And tell me, you who call yourself a Christian, have you ever experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God? You know, my friend, conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tell me, has the burden of your sin ever made you ashamed before God? Do you realize that every sin you've ever committed has been against the Holy God? And have you ever realized your spiritually depraved, helpless, and hopeless condition in the sight of Almighty God? Have you, my friend? You know, there are so many people today who claim to be saved, and yet they never recall ever having been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. I've even had some people tell me that they've always been a Christian. Friend, if you've always been a Christian, you're only a heartbeat from hell. You're telling me that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior because you never realized you needed Him. How can you be saved until you realize you're lost? You're telling me that you were not saved the scriptural way. You know, we're told over there in John chapter 16 and verses 8 and 9 how that the Spirit of God is in the world. Why? To convict men and women, boys and girls, of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So you're telling me, if you say you've always been saved, that you don't need the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And friend, if you're not born again by the Spirit and Word of God, then you're not born again at all. And I believe that's the reason there's so much false profession in the world of professing Christendom these days. There seems to be an abundance of spiritually illegitimate children mingling with the true children of God. Many are the victims of delusion. They've been badgered, coaxed, and literally dragged to an altar, and they thought they were being saved. Oh, they may have shed some tears, and emotions may have been running rampant, but was there any conviction of sin? Friend, I may as well tell you that I'm 100% against inviting sinners to come to an altar. There are millions of souls down in hell today that got to an altar that never got to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just going to take a minute or two to tell you why I'm opposed to the so-called altar call. First of all, my friend, it's unscriptural, and that's reason enough to be against it. Secondly, many people feel that by going to the altar, they're confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. and yet there be no conviction of sin at all within their heart and soul. Third, I've seen people walking to an altar laughing and giggling, and their arms around their friends as though they were on a picnic. Fourth, the so-called counselors at the altar are sometimes there to help pray the sinner through, whatever that means. Friend, nowhere in the Bible does it say that a sinner should or could pray it through. Fifth, the evangelist and well-meaning Christian friends will often coax the sinner to come forward to the altar, and quite often this man-made coercion lasts about 15 minutes to a half an hour. And friends, this conviction must come from God, not man. Sixth, the poor sinner who is really convicted of sin and who may be too shy to go forward to an altar, he sits there in his seat, and he may die unsaved because he believes he must go to an altar in order to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Seventh, the unscriptural altar call is quite often found in places where it is only one of several other practices emanating from the carnal mind to satisfy the fleshly appetites of those in attendance. And again, my friend, I remind you that the altar call is completely unsubstantiated by the Word of God. And personally, I've had enough of these man-made rituals. Let's get rid of them all and stick to the Word of God. Let's have thus saith the Lord for everything we do and say. Listen, sinner friend, if you want to become a child of God, you don't need an altar. You need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ. So you trust Him today, wherever you are. Don't wait till you get to an altar. It may be too late. Well, I guess these few remarks will bring me a stack of letters with adverse criticism. But friend, when you write to me, all I ask is that you give me chapter and verse. Sure, I know that some of you were saved at the altar, but the altar never saved you, and you could just as well have been saved in your seat before you went forward to the altar. And so much for that. Now, the last thing that we notice about our text, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to have communion and fellowship with those who will trust Him as their Savior. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me." Sender friend, if you'll open the door of your heart and will allow the Lord Jesus Christ to become your Savior and the Lord of your life, you'll not only be delivered from the power and penalty of sin, you'll also know the joy of sweet communion and fellowship with the Son of God. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll walk beside you during all your trials and troubles here on earth. Yes, and when you get to heaven, you can sit down with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you'll rejoice in His presence forever and forever and forever. There's a famous picture, which many of you I'm sure have seen, which shows the Lord Jesus Christ knocking on a door. And if you look closely at the picture, you'll notice that there's no doorknob on the outside of the door. No, the doorknob is on the inside, and the door can only be opened by the person on the inside of the door. Friend, Christ will never force His way into your heart and into your life. The decision is completely up to you. So, friend, if the Holy Spirit of God is revealing to you your lost and ruined condition in God's sight, if you realize there's nothing you can do to save your own soul, and friend, if you realize that nearly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the old rugged cross for your sin. Friend, that's what salvation's all about. But please, friend, don't put it off. No, just throw yourself on the mercy of God and plead the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, which cleanseth from all sin. But do it now. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Yes, my friend, wherever you may be, in simple childlike faith, just acknowledge and repent of your sin and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, we bow again in Thy presence to ask Thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to His honor and glory alone. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus, is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earthly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me.
This concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.